Good evening. I'd like to call this month's planning and zoning meeting to order at 7 o'clock. Can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Here.
Okay. Gino Di Giovanni.
Here.
Raul Sanchez.
Here.
Albert Lizowitz.
Here.
Raymond Sadler.
Here.
William Harris.
Here.
Dan Blisman.
Here.
Our new members, Paul Denise.
Here.
Joseph Sutherland.
Here.
Okay, Mr. Chair, if you, I just asked the new members, the two new members, Mr. Denise and Mr. Soika, to rise. I'll administer the oath of office for the position of planning and zoning. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that you will faithfully execute according to law your duties as members, as a regular member and alternate member of the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby to the best of your abilities, so help you God?
I do.
Congratulations. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome, Mark. Thank you. Without objection, I'd like to cast one vote to make Danny Blisman a member for tonight's meeting in place of Bill Harris. Number four, additions, deletions, corrections to the agenda. I have none.
Okay. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Do we want to add under approval of meeting minutes, the meeting minutes from the August 20th meeting in addition to September 17th, since those minutes were provided to us?
Yep. So under number seven, we'll add 8:20's minutes, 24, to approval of minutes.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Ray.
Do we have them? I don't have a copy of that.
They were sent by email.
When were they sent?
This morning. This morning.
Table.
I'd like to table it. Yeah, because I haven't had a chance to review at all.
Okay.
We're not that part of the agenda.
We'll do that.
Or just not add it.
Yeah, we won't add.
917 either then.
So we'll just take, we won't add 820, 24 to number seven, and then we'll just table number seven when we get there. Okay. Number five, communications. I have none. Nobody else has any. We'll move to number six, public portion. If anyone has a public comment on any of the items below, I just want to let everyone know that the public hearing is not scheduled yet, and you could hold your comments till then. Other than that, does anybody from the public wish to speak? Just got to let me know, Mark, if there's anybody on. Anybody? Sam. Who is it?
Sam Flores.
Oh, go ahead, Sam.
Announce if they want to speak, just to unmute them.
Okay, if anybody's on Zoom, you could just unmute and just state your name and address for the record.
No, he was unmuted. We lost everybody.
Anybody from the public in the room wish to speak while we get this technical glitch cleared up? Anybody from the public on Zoom wish to speak?
Sam, you're muted.
Sam, you're muted. He's trying that. Ryan, can you unmute yourself, Ryan? Bar.
Yes, I can, Mr. Chairman.
You go ahead, Sammy. You could.
Tell me, still muted. No, he's not. If I can see it.
Sam, you could call my phone. I'll put you on through this way if you want.
Call in the number that dial.
Or you can call in the dial number. Is there anyone else on Zoom that wishes to speak? Okay, Sam, you're up.
Okay, hi. Sam Palastro, 11 Watt, Laurel Avenue. I'm going to go into a different room here. All right, sorry about that. So I was calling in regards to the work that is being done to the hops company. I know that there was some storm damage that took down a roof line on the side. However, in driving by there, I have noticed that they have done an expansion around the corner and put a roof up with some stairs along the side, and thus creating a pre-existing non-conforming. It's already a non-conforming. It's already in an R3 zone. And what they did was they expanded on it, contrary to whatever anybody wants to tell you. When I called the building official, when I called Kevin White, when I called Mr. Bolero, they were unaware. No permits were pulled. It wasn't until after that this was raised to them that they come in with a set of prints. The prints do show that. As the chairman of the zoning board, I can tell you firsthand that they also didn't come to us. You've extended on a pre-existing non-conforming. I am going to sit here and I'm going to tell everybody that while I love Derby and I want to see it thrive and I want to see business grow, my wife, who is a realtor, we have purchased properties. We do our due diligence before we buy said properties. Okay? If we want to buy something by the water, we find out if it's in a flood zone, what that flood insurance is going to cost, what the regular insurance is going to cost. When you buy a property like this, you have to know that you're locked in. And to expand and to keep expanding and to keep doing this. Now, we already have a problem with parking. The people are already parking in the back lots. We've had problems where we've had to post signs up. As former police commissioner, we had to post signs up going up towards Marshall Lane where the people, there was no parking. We have an issue that's now creating more space there. From what I understand, they've given a verbal or otherwise, I'm sure Dominic is going to speak to this, but they were asked to stop. They didn't approve plans. They came in afterwards, and then they brought plans. I'm asking for the planning and zoning. I've already asked the building inspector. I've already asked Mr. White, Mr. Blair to look into this. That is my piece on this. I just want something to be done. We already have a traffic issue. We already have people crossing the street. It becomes a safety hazard. I would like to speak to the planning and zoning. It's probably got a little bit more authority than the zoning board. I know we give variances. And sometimes we bless things. And if we pass something, it goes to your board. So I'm asking you guys to look into this and see the addition that was put on. And that's all I have to say. Thank you for your time. And I will leave it at that.
Thank you, Sam.
Okay.
Is there anybody else from the public wish to speak? Final time, anybody from the public wish to speak? Okay, we will close the public portion. And we'll move on to number 7. Number 7, approval of minutes.
Move the table.
Danny, so moved. All in favor? Is there a second?
Second, I'll second it.
Raymond? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, motion to table. Number 8. 8A, Summit Hill LLC, zone text change application to create new planned residential district PRD regulation. is
Mr. Chair, this application was submitted. It's on the agenda for receipt. This is a zone text amendment proposed by Summit Hill LLC.
What's happening there, Mark? Okay, go ahead, Ryan.
Okay, this application was submitted by Summit Hill LLC for a zone text amendment for regulations on a planned residential district. This application will be subject to a public hearing. And it's up to the commission to determine when you want to hold that hearing. Per statutes, you have 65 days to open the hearing from date of receipt, which would be today. This application's been referred to the Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments and the South Central Regional Council of Governments per statute. And that's essentially it. It needs to be scheduled for a public hearing.
Ryan, you got cut off. Can you start over with you said statutes?
So this application is a zone text amendment proposed by Summit Hill LLC for a planned residential district regulation. This application is required to be scheduled for a public hearing. And you have up to 65 days from today to open the hearing per statute. Also, this application has been submitted to the Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments and the South Central Regional Council of Governments for their input per Connecticut general statutes. So I'll leave it to you, Mr. Chairman, and the members of the commission as to when you want to schedule a hearing for this application.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question on this application. Ryan, perhaps you
go can ahead. Answer it. Go ahead, Dave.
Was the proper fee? Did you hear me?
Oh, I can.
Yeah. Was the proper fee submitted with this application?
I don't know.
Did he hear me?
Ryan, did you hear that?
I did hear it, and I don't know if an application fee was paid or not.
Hello, this is Dominic Thomas. Can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead, Dominic.
The fee was paid.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so 8A, do I have a motion to accept the application and
receive
the application, and we'll set a date for the public hearing? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Raymond, second?
Second.
Danny? All in favor? Anyone Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Now, the next meeting is going to be on November the 19th. Does anybody have any objection to the 19th? Okay, we'll set the public hearing for the 19th, our next scheduled meeting. All in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay. Okay, next 9A. This is a public hearing for 94 Water Street LLC and K&X Services LLC, special exemption application to construct 4 2-bedroom townhouse residential units on map 8-5, lot 14. Ryan?
Mr. Chairman, the applicant's attorney has submitted a letter granting an extension to allow this hearing to continue to the November meeting, and they've requested that the discussion be continue to that meeting so they can look to further address comments that I raised in my letter last week. So similar to last month, they requested it to be extended and continued, and they're making a similar request this month.
Is there anybody on the call for the applicant?
This is Dominic Thomas. To let you know that test pits have to be done and the reports of those test pits have to be addressed to address Ryan's comments. So we're just asking that, give you an extension, that we conclude the public hearing at the next meeting when we can address Ryan's comments.
Can we move it to the next scheduled meeting, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, came by. Ryan, can you speak on the line?
Yes. Can you hear me, Gino?
That's tomorrow or Thursday.
What's your question, Gino?
Scheduled meeting, which would be the 19th of November, 49A, 94 Water Street.
So moved.
Danny?
Second.
Raymond, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, so we'll extend the public hearing to 11:14 or 19, excuse me. Thank you.
Okay.
And if Dominic comes on and he needs to say anything else, then we could just go back to that. Moving forward, 9B, 1 Elizabeth Street, City of Derby Planning and Zoning Commission, Zone Text Change Application. Amendments to Section 195-28.C and 195-28.D regarding the location and number of cannabis establishments. Ryan, can you hear us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, this is for 9B.
So this application, Mr. Chairman, is to modify text associated with cannabis establishments in the City of Derby. This cannabis establishments were established in 2021 based on legislation at the state level that enabled the adoption of regulations governing the location of cannabis establishments within the city. At the time that the city considered these text amendments, the governing state statutes had caps or limitations on the number of cannabis shops or cannabis stores within the city. And based on the state law at the time, Derby, should they have adopted these regulations, would have been allowed only one establishment. So when the city adopted these regulations, or the commission adopted these regulations, it was under the premise that there'd be no more than one store allowed. Subsequent to that state law enabling the use of these types of stores, the state law changed to remove that cap. So this regulation proposed at this time intends to restore the cap that was considered at the time of the adoption of the cannabis establishments. So what we're looking to do, and I'm going to share my screen just to show the what is being proposed specifically.
Seriously. Start at the end to work backwards.
We're going to go through that, right? He doesn't realize
that. What's that? Is there an issue with you guys hearing me? Mr. Chair, do you have an issue hearing me?
Oh, okay, go ahead, Ryan.
Did you hear anything I said up till now?
No, we got you on the phone now.
Okay, you can hear me now, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
That off.
There is a reverberation, but the intent of this regulation is to restore the cap on the number of cannabis establishments in the city that was in place at the state level at the time that cannabis establishments were approved. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
So what we've done in this is we've placed a limitation of one cannabis establishment within the city of Derby, consistent with the state law that was in place in 2021. Since then, the state has lifted the cap on the number of establishments allowed. And what this text amendment will do is, again, limit it to the one cannabis establishment within the city. So that's essentially the genesis and the reasoning behind this text amendment. It is fairly simple otherwise. There was language governing the distance from churches, schools, and playgrounds, and things of that nature that we're clarifying. And we've also removed any language regarding the location of cannabis establishments within a shopping center and replaced it with a cap of one total within the city.
Does anybody have any questions?
Is this off of the vape shops?
No. The vape shops is section 195-29.
Mark, I think you just turn that.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, just with an observation, that it's my recollection, I think that this board approved one permitted establishment about a year ago or earlier this year, January, I believe. That establishment has not opened yet. I'm not sure how long that permit is valid, but effectively with one permitted operation, even though it's not open.
It is not open, but they did come, I believe, last month to get the building permit.
Okay. Because you could effectively find yourself with a permitted establishment that's not open, which may be fine, but that effectively you're banning anybody else until that issued permit expires.
Mr. Chairman. So, Brian, the only thing, if I understand it right, that we changed was limited to one. Okay.
And then some technical changes happened to reflect the fact that it's limited to one establishment.
Okay.
Yeah, no more shopping center exemption.
Okay. So what is the pleasure of the board? Can I get a motion to accept the zone text change? Approved the zone text change for 195-20 public hearing.
Mr. Chair, I think we need to close the public hearing first.
Got to open it.
Yes. Oh, we got to open
it. Right.
Yep.
Okay, can I get a motion to open?
Nope.
You want to open the public hearing? Right? I'm sorry?
The public hearing is open, but you can invite public comment.
Okay. Do we have anybody from the public that wishes to speak? Is there anybody on Zoom?
There are people.
And on 9B?
I did sign in on my phone as well for audio purposes. Is this better than what I had on the computer?
It's an issue inside the room. It's an issue with this one.
Okay.
Right.
Could ask again if anybody else from there. There's people
there. There are? Okay. Is there anyone from public wish to speak on 9B, the public hearing? No hands up, Mark?
Just tell them to unmute and speak.
Yeah, if there's anybody that wishes to speak on 9B, you're unmuted and you can speak. Okay, if not, can I get a motion to close the public hearing?
My name is Mark Arfalo, 95 Academy Hill Road, town clerk. I urge you to adopt the change as presented.
Thank you.
It's hard with the feedback, huh?
Okay, if there's nobody else that wishes to speak for the last time, can I get a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Raymond, second?
I'll second it.
Danny, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries. Number 10, new business. 10A, 1 Elizabeth Street, City of Derby Planning and Zoning Commission, Zone Text. Go ahead.
So that amendment is passed?
No.
It's
on the next agenda.
Now.
Yeah, so 10A is 1 Elizabeth Street, City of Derby Planning and Zoning Commission, Zone Text Change Application, amendments to Section 195-28.C and 195-28.D regarding the location and number of cannabis establishments, discussion, and possible action. Well, now we'll
motion?
Yeah, now we're going to do it. Paul, now we'll do the, okay. Just to let you know. So can I get a motion?
Mr. Chair, I did draft the motion for consideration.
Okay.
Would you like me to read it in?
Please.
This draft is regarding a zone text change, City of Derby Planning and Zoning Commission to modify Section 195-28C and D, cannabis establishments regarding the location and number of cannabis establishments. Following review of the documentation submitted in support of this application, the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission finds the zone text change to the above referenced sections is consistent with the goals of Section 195-2 and the Plan of Conservation and Development. Therefore, the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission hereby approves the zone text change application as proposed. The effective date of the text amendment shall be October 22nd, 2024. This approval shall be based upon the following documents submitted in support of this application. 1, application prepared by SLR International Corporation, dated 9/12/24. 2, referrals to the Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments and South Central Connecticut Regional Council of Governments from SLR, dated 9/16/2024. 3, letter from Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments Regional Planning Commission, dated 9/6/24. 4, letter from South Central Regional Council of Governments, dated 10/15/24. 5, verbal testimony from the Planning and Zoning Commission, members of the public, and city staff at the October 15, 2024 public hearing.
Thank you, Ryan. Do I have a motion?
Motion approved.
Okay, second.
As presented.
All in favor?
Mr. Chairman, if I may just have one comment on the effective date should be after the date of publication. I'm just not sure when the publication will occur. It's 1 week, Mark.
Yeah, I'm going to share this with Lisa if this is approved this evening, so she can organize the legal notice to go in before the end of the week.
Right, so we could it just needs to be after. I don't care. I just want to make sure it's published before the effective date.
The 22nd is the effective date, right? All right. Do we have to amend that at all? Or no?
Well, I'm not in charge of publication. I'm not sure how long it's going to take.
But isn't there a rescission period too?
Sorry.
There's an appeal
period. There's an appeal period, yes. But it's not if the effective date should be after the date of publication. So
I think it's 15 days. I think it's reasonable, Brian, that between Lisa, myself, and Mark, that we can get the publication in by the end of this week.
Right. Thank you, Ryan. I just wanted to double check.
Did we have a second on that?
Yeah, Paul.
Paul. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay, 10B. CGS 8-24. Consideration of temporary construction access easement in the vicinity of Caroline Street in favor of State of Connecticut Department of Transportation in conjunction with the rehabilitation for the Route 8 bridge. See attachment map and draft easement.
All right, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yep.
About a month ago, the city received a correspondence from the State of Connecticut Department of Transportation requesting an easement as depicted on the map, which I think the member should have a copy of. DOT is anticipating work on the Route 8 bridge over the Housatonic River. And in particular, the pilings, or I'm not sure exactly what they're called, I'll call them pilings, the bridge supports. And in order for them to access that area of the bridge, Caroline Street, as members may be aware, as you head toward the WPCA, crosses under the tracks, and it's a very low clearance, so construction vehicles would not be able to cross under what's shown as present Caroline Street to go under the tracks. There's an existing semi-paved roadway that crosses over the tracks. It's currently used by the WPCA trucks, and the DOT has, it's a strange history of title, but they have access on the southeast side of the tracks, but for whatever reason, that accessway stops at the tracks and doesn't continue along the portion shown on the map. So they're requesting a temporary easement. They call it a construction easement, but it's effectively an access easement so that their vehicles can access the work site by the bridge and traverse along the existing roadway that's utilized by WPCA.
So they want to go down Caroline Street, take a right, go around the pump house, go along the flood dike and to Route 8 that way, right?
Yes. And they have access on the other side, which is why they're only asking for this small portion. They have a right to use the other side of the tracks.
Right, because the highway was extended.
Right. And they just told that there's a gap in the accessway. So they're requesting a temporary right to fill that gap and use the area. So technically it needs to come before this board. The Board of Aldermen referred it at their last meeting. And so this board should just consider it from a planning perspective and issue a report, either positive or negative, to the Board of Aldermen so that they could vote on it.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Raymond.
How long is the easement for, Brian? Do you know?
Well, that's a good question. And it is temporary, but the easement basically says until the completion of that particular set of work. So it's not defined by months or years. It's defined by the scope of work. So when they complete the project, the easement will go away. Which
now inside this, it says that, the driveway will be restored and repaired, replacing any damaged pavement, seating, said easement will be extinguished upon completion of the project. But correct. If we look on this print, there are, 36-inch pipe, there's gas, there's water here. They'll be responsible for...
If any damage, or any repair for the... Yes, if anybody's familiar with that area, the roadway's in pretty rough shape anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But to the extent they damage it further or cause any additional damage to any of those pipes, then yes, they would be responsible to recover that. So the suggestion might be is at some point, City Public Works reaches out to the state and sees what they may end up doing improvements to it anyway, just because it's such.
Well, that would be the nice thing to do,
Exactly. And I've had that discussion with the representatives of DOT. And I think if it was requested by our Public Works, we may get a positive response from them just because it needs a little.
TLC.
TLC, exactly. Yep.
David, any questions?
No.
Any other questions or concerns from members of the board?
You have a motion drafted? Or
just... No, it's just a motion for a positive referral, HVAC 24 referral to the Board of Aldermen.
Or negative.
Right. Okay. Can I get a motion from the body, either for or against? If we have both, then we'll take a roll call.
I move in favor.
Okay. Danny makes motion in favor. Do we have a second?
Second it. Second it.
Albert? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Yes.
Pass that along to the Board of Aldermen. Okay. 10, moving on, 10C. CGS 8-24, consideration of acquisition by the City of Derby of 2 Factory Street, Derby, Connecticut.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if I may. Similar to the last action, by the last item on the agenda, this is also an 8-24 referral from the Board of Aldermen. This board is, you may know, acts in the planning capacity as well, and under that particular statute, has the ability to make a positive or negative recommendation from a planning perspective to the Board of Aldermen as to the acquisition of property or easements, things of that nature. In this particular case, the city, as part of the downtown redevelopment, it has been trying to acquire the 2 Factory Street property, which you may not know the address, but I'm sure you're familiar with the piece. It's the Rubino Brothers Recycling Facility. They've been negotiations long before my time regarding the acquisition, we're in a position to enter into a contract with the property owner regarding the acquisition of the property, which would be acquired primarily through state grant funds, DEC grant funds. And as part of that contract process, again, we're seeking the Board of Aldermen are seeking a either a positive or a negative recommendation from this board as part of the acquisition.
Didn't we already do this once prior?
Well, you may have. I'm not since we've been city attorney. No, so it's possible that this has been probably a decade in the making. So it is certainly possible that there was a vote at some point in time under 8-24, but we thought it was prudent just to go back and since we're very close to executing the contract again, once this board acts, it'll go back to the aldermen who will take a formal vote on whether to actually acquire it. But they it's a matter of your having input from the planning commission.
Any questions from the members?
Yeah, I if we acquire the property, who would be responsible for environmental cleanup?
Well, basically, once the city owns the property, it would be the city's responsibility.
Now, there doesn't go back to the previous. Doesn't go back to the previous owner.
Yeah, the
unless done so by contract.
Correct.
And this was a question that I had to the previous administration when this was talked about on the Board of Aldermen, and I'm pretty sure it came to us, but neither here nor there. My questions at the time were that at that address, the junkyard has been there for numerous amount of years. There was never a phase one done, never a phase two done. I don't know where that is currently, so there might be. But my question was, once the city takes possession of that piece of property, who is going to be responsible for the cleanup without knowing a phase one, phase two, how dirty it is? And it could have been a $5 million cleanup or a $50 million cleanup or a $500 cleanup for that matter. We just didn't know that information at the time. So as we sit here today, do we have any of that information, Brian?
Well, some of these issues are going to be discussed in executive session with the alderman, but I can indicate that there are some existing environmental reports of phase one. Part of the contract does provide for a due diligence period, during which time the city intends to conduct environmental investigation of the property.
Okay, the only reason I bring it up, as I did previously, is that I just don't feel that it should be the responsibility of the taxpayer here in town to have to carry the cleanup cost, fees, studies, to move that property or sell that property. So that's just my opinion. That's the reason why I asked those questions. Anybody else have any questions?
I think that's definitely advisable to purchase that property. You know, if we want that downtown developed, you know, if we have a junkyard there, that's going to really kill that project. And I think, like you said, this is going to be a big cost, but this should be negotiated by the city and the aldermen. It's just, do we think that this property is worth acquiring to move the city along and the development of the downtown?
Well, that's exactly
right.
The role of this commission is to look at it from a planning perspective as to whether that particular property would have value from a planning perspective and be consistent with the downtown plan of development. Now, these are all legitimate questions and certainly are going to come up with the Board of Aldermen as to, you know, those types of costs and potential liabilities.
Previously, the city of Derby was going to purchase the property for a great deal amount of money. And that's why I asked that question. With the city paying X amount of money, whatever it is, and then be on the hook for the cleanup, was just a question, you know, that came up in the past. So that's why I just wanted to mention that. Any other questions?
Then the question becomes, is it actually developable based upon a phase one, phase two, and a phase three environmental cleanup? Or would those conditions preclude any kind of development?
Well, that's where the city has to do their due diligence before they actually purchase or negotiate.
Kind of hoping that they did it already.
Any other questions from commission members?
Sort of, it really, our consideration is just based on whether or not we should buy that property, not really the repercussions of doing so with any agreements with the current tenant, owner, stuff like that, Ryan? Or is that's not really within our purview of?
Essentially correct.
Okay.
I mean, it's more, as was stated, that whether this particular property is consistent with the downtown redevelopment plans. Granted, there's a lot of complications with this particular piece of property. But I think on the surface, excuse the pun.
I don't completely recall what I've learned in prior executive sessions, and that's why I'm kind of being careful with what I say. But do you understand the Jacobs versus Rubino versus the city not being on the hook for that? Would be my concern. I don't know if it's been addressed. Obviously, I haven't been privy to anything in the past probably year on this discussion, but. Basically, the city owns the property, has the same tenant, and assumes whatever lease or anything like that would be my concern.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Raymond.
I would think that the Board of Aldermen, that I think everybody's agreeing here, would have the wherewithal to go through that. And I think as far as environmental cleanups, as they have done elsewhere and other towns have done, there's federal monies and state monies, and I don't know enough about that, but for any kind of brownfields, and I believe that is down there, that would come into play. I'm sure it's going to take some time, but I don't think the city would be totally on the hook for it. That being said, with what Al had to say here, I think it would be in the city's best interest one way or another to get that property already. So that being said again, not to reiterate, but that the Board of Aldermen would have the wherewithal to cover their, you know, dot their I's, cross their T's, and make sure it's done properly. So with that,
it's ultimately their responsibility right. to cover that part.
So with that being said, I make a motion to make a positive approval to okay. send to the board all.
I'll second that.
Danny? Second. All in favor? Anyone opposed? Aye. Okay, motion carries. Positive review to send to the Board of Aldermen. Okay, number 11, old business. 11A, 94 Water Street LLC, K&X Services LLC, special exemption application to construct a 4 2-bedroom townhouse residential unit on map 8-5, lot 14. Discussion and possible action. Is Ryan still on there? Could he hear me?
Yes, I can, Mr. Chair.
I can address that, Mr. Chairman. I think because the public hearing was continued to next month, I think this item could be continued or tabled.
Yep.
I move to table.
Okay, Danny. Perfect. All right. So that'll be for the next meeting on the 19th.
Second.
Raymond, all in favor?
All right.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Number 12, informal discussion. 12A, application procedures. Dave, you got
something? Yeah, sure. Bill Ryan, Bill Harris, I'm sorry, and Albert Mizowitz and I met earlier this month to discuss updating the application procedures for all zoning applications, including certificates of zoning compliance, special exceptions, site plan review, text amendments, zone map amendments. There's 6 different applications for zoning actions that we identified during the course of the meeting. What we also found is that the 7 steps to a zoning permit that's published in the website is really incorrect. I don't know where those steps came from. I don't even think they came from outside the city of Derby, because the terminology there doesn't even match what we have in our zoning regulations. And it primarily talks about steps to get a building permit. And we shouldn't really mix up building permit format and the zoning permit format. So we've agreed to go over every application one by one, come up with a specific application for each type of zoning permit that they need. And I think the critical part of this was the fact that somehow or another, the zoning enforcement officer has been not the lead person in these applications before, and that is very critical, okay? The zoning enforcement officer has to be the traffic cop in this situation. It should be the first person that a potential applicant meets with so that he could direct them in the right direction. And he'll evaluate not only what application that they need, but that the application is prepared correctly, because we find that applications are missing certain things or they're somehow or another incomplete. And all that does, that leads to a delay in any action with the commission here. You know, thing has to be tabled because it's missing a critical element of an application. I think also this isn't like reinventing the wheel either. Okay, we have Appendix A in our zoning regulations, and that is really the checklist
for various zoning applications. And I know it's lengthy, it's like four pages, but a lot, depending on where you're applying for, much of this may be inapplicable. And that's where the zoning enforcement officer is critical in going over this with a potential applicant to see what items they actually need to submit and which ones are unnecessary. I think we all agreed, and Albert, you'll agree that it's more work than we originally anticipated once we started going through it. And
right, especially if we go and deal with an online form system, which doesn't exist.
Well, right. I mean, that's another thing. But so we anticipate, Mr. Chairman, about a 6 months timeline to get this correct, because we want to do it so that we're not going to have to revisit this for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when Bill brought this up, I thought it was a great idea. I'll be the first one to admit, I didn't think it was in need of repair as it does. But listen, all these steps are going to move us forward, number one. Yeah. Number two, it's going to make us more business friendly. Number two, the point of contact is going to be the zoning enforcement officer. And like David said, he'll be the traffic cop, point you in what direction you need to go, and streamline it. And by the time the application or what have you gets to the board, now we'll have all our ducks in a row and everything will be here, and it's a yes or no, and move it forward. So it'll be less time for the applicant too, from coming back.
And I think we've seen over the last couple of months that we've had applications come in that the zoning enforcement officer hasn't even seen.
Correct.
Okay. That's not the way it should go.
I think procedurally, you can just require it to go to the zoning.
Or his
assistant.
Well, he doesn't have an assistant.
Exactly.
Who prepares the agendas?
Myself, Ryan, depending on what comes in. And then we give it over to Lisa, and she'll give it then over to Mark and print them out.
Question for you guys. Did you look into if it's able to be added to like the current permit link system?
If what?
Like an online application process can be added to the way that they accept building permits.
We haven't gotten in terms of that. What we're trying to do, Dan, we're trying to develop
a procedure.
Develop an application also for each of these six specific type of permits that they need. Once we develop that, then we could get involved in the procedure like an online.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I just wonder if it's something we're paying for already, the ability to add it, since we use it for building.
The only drawback of an online application is they may try to bypass the step of vetting it with the zoning enforcement officer. And that is... I think that's a recipe for disaster.
Well, I think he would have to be the person to approve it online. Like right now, if I apply for a building permit in Derby, the building official has to okay it before I get.
Right. I agree. It's not being done now.
In theory.
So that would be you know, a critical step.
I can tell you my experience in other communities.
Going through the zoning enforcement officer.
I think as you move forward too, we start making adjustments and start getting things, and then we could probably put it on like the building department is. And then hopefully we could go with some recommendations to the mayor and tell him with the work that is coming up and projects that are on the horizon, hopefully soon, that one day a week isn't cutting it, no matter which way you slice it. And a lot of it is getting put on Lisa. And quite frankly, it's not fair to her. That's not her job.
No, that's not her job. Either.
Correct.
You know, and it's probably not fair to Kevin either, because he, like you said, he's only here one day a week.
We have to start somewhere. I think this is the perfect opportunity to do it. And listen, it's going to be in the positive, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, Bill will be back in a few days, I think. So we'll have another meeting. You know, before our November
Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, so we'll have another update after that.
Does any other commission members have any questions for Dave or Albert?
Mr. Chairman.
Raymond?
I would just like to say that I commend these guys on doing this because nobody's done it for years. And it's a one of progress, right? And yeah, schedule another meeting. And I would, although he's new, Mr. Denise over there.
Oh, I'd like to hear from
you. Yeah. throw his.
Go ahead, Paul.
Online submissions is great for a resident in a residential district that wants to put on an addition because they're getting home from work. They don't have time during the day to make a travel to town hall. The software that I've seen out there, someone would have to spend the hours to see an application. Yeah. And there's a checklist, what you need for a garage, what you need for a pool, and that sort of thing. But the residents seem to be able to handle that and scan in a plot plan or whatever online and get it here so that it saves them a trip to town hall.
What other cities around us have that?
Orange has that. I believe Shelton Stock has it. But you know, it is a little bit labor intensive because some of the department heads have to take a look at that application. So I don't know what the workload is here on that. With regard to commercial and industrial site plans, what a lot of communities do, and what I've seen in some of the applications here, is that you want to get all the other municipal department heads involved off the bat. And a developer wants to hear that. He wants to get approved. Hey, Paul, you know, if I come to Derby, what do I have to do to get my my application processed and approved? And you know, once you get into this commercial and industrial site plans, it involves the WPCA, it involves the town engineer, it involves wetlands, it involves the fire marshal, and even for the exterior, it involves the building inspector. Mm-hmm. What some municipalities do, and again, I don't know if it's possible here in Derby, is to have a department head meeting once or twice a month so that the developer comes in the door. It would not be a meeting that we could attend because we can't be predetermined and we can't tell a developer what to do or we can't really be privy, especially if it requires a public hearing at some point or whatever. But for the municipal department heads and the zoning enforcement officer, they would then be able to comment on it so that an application doesn't come in and we say, oh, now you have to go to the fire marshal because we want to make sure you're fire lane.
Right.
And, or if, you know, an application comes here and we approve it and all of a sudden the fire marshal says we need a fire lane here and that parking aisle now has to go over there. Is that the plan? You know, then you start getting into the issue of, is that the plan we approve?
You know, without getting into the weeds too much, our zoning regulations actually state that referrals shall be made to the various departments, the fire marshal, inland wetlands, police department, of the other departments.
Generally, these meetings don't last more than an hour to an hour and a half a month.
And again, I think that's where the zoning enforcement officer has to play traffic cop.
Right.
Because not all of those different departments need to put input on every single application. And the zoning enforcement officer, through his experience and maybe even consulting with the planner, could determine, okay, we could streamline, we don't need the fire marshal in on this application here because it's only a one or two family house. Okay.
You don't need the
traffic. Or we don't need, a traffic study done by the police department. So that, again, it's in the regulations that referrals can be made and should be made where appropriate, but somebody has to direct the applicant which ones that they have to do, Paul. Okay. You agree?
Oh, yes. Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
Timeline will chart for the applicant. So have some idea of
ways to get to begin with. So let me, if he supplies it, he could
walk in,
they'll
be half
educated to begin with, not starting from scratch. So, Mr. Chairman. Go ahead, Raymond. As I said, good job, guys. Keep up the good work and let's move along here.
And, you know, and we'll keep you updated every step of the way.
And we want, you know, we want input from all the members if they have an idea.
So you'll report back every meeting, Dave. So the subcommittee's doing good, right? Okay, good.
Thank you too, Mark.
All right, let's, could we move on, please?
Yep. So if there's no more questions on 12A, we'll go to 12B, vape shops. I know, Brian, you have a draft.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I don't think Ryan is with us, but I this is fairly straightforward, at least at this point.
He's there.
Is he? I'm here. So similar to the board's action just a moment ago on the zone text change for the cannabis establishment, this draft of a proposed amendment, it's effectively also a regulation change. But in this particular instance, it's a regulation establishing a temporary and limited moratorium on smoke shops and tobacco stores. So for tonight's purposes, certainly there can be some discussion, but I think ultimately if the commission is inclined, what it needs to do is schedule for a public hearing because it is a regulation amendment, and then action at its next meeting or at a future meeting on the moratorium. But it does need to be noticed and have a public hearing before any action could be taken.
Is there any questions from the commission members?
Just one. I think I mentioned last meeting or somewhere down in the recent history that we wanted to possibly include like variety stores, convenience stores, because these places go by all kinds of titles. I'm not saying that's going to be the final thing in there, but
Mr. Chairman, if I may, this amendment that you have in front of you tonight is simply directed to a moratorium, a possible moratorium on tobacco vape shops. And that would allow this commission an opportunity to consider and draft regulations regarding the regulation of these establishments, and that may or may not include stores, convenience stores, or other places that sell tobacco, vape type products. So that would be part of the reason for the moratorium would be to consider the regulations and what prohibitions or requirements or standards that this board would like to incorporate into its new regulations. So this gives the ample time, a proposal of a 6 months for this board to undertake the necessary review and adopt a regulation.
You know what he's saying? So it's going to pause it on everything for now until we
it's going to put the moratorium on smoke and vape shops, period.
Well, no, but
this board is not acting on that tonight. All it's simply doing is refer to a next meeting and recommend or not a public hearing on it.
Well, right, I understand
but any store that's got to sell tobacco needs a permit. They need a tobacco
from the state. Right, so this is going to stop the opening
of any new
permit of any new vape tobacco. Or tobacco
places. If it's voted.
No, there's a 25% floor area threshold.
Over 25%.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, and my question is, who's going to enforce that?
Well, there's two issues. One is first considering a regulation, and then if you adopt a regulation, enforcement is, of course, always...
I mean, just for the purpose of a moratorium.
Well, somebody, the moratorium, relatively, if they come in for an application for one of these establishments, that's not going to be granted.
Well, if they come in with less than 25% of the floor area, I think they are permitted, aren't they, Brian, the way I read that?
Well, two things on this. One is that 25% is more or less a placeholder. Because this is not necessarily the regulation that's going to be adopted.
No, but for the purposes of the moratorium.
Well, no, it isn't, because even tonight, this is a sample. This is a sample of a possible moratorium. So when you when you have the public hearing on this proposed amendment, this board can read it, consider whether or not they want to make that 0%, 100%, 0%, 50% when they actually adopt the amendment. So like the cannabis regulation that you just considered, if you're not satisfied or want to make changes to the draft language, you'll have the ability after the public hearing to revise it and adopt it with whatever changes you have. So this is really just to give this board and members of the public notice as to what's being considered, as a possible amendment, and then people can come and speak on it. You can consider their comments and adopt moratorium to your liking.
Right away.
Right. Okay, so Mr. Chairman, Brian, we could make any changes we want to this.
Correct.
We could add definitions, change percentages, all good.
Yes.
Anything.
Okay. This is just this is for notice purposes to provide reasonable notice to people as to what's being considered by
people. Do we have to go back to new business to make a motion to schedule a public hearing, Mr. Chairman?
No, we can schedule it right now. If the commission wants to.
I move to schedule a public hearing.
All right. Raymond has a motion on the floor to schedule the public hearing for next meeting. What was that?
Dan?
I'll second.
Was that the 19th?
Yep.
Danny seconded it. All in favor? Anyone opposed? So motion carries. We'll schedule the public hearing for next meeting.
You're going to have a pretty heavy move next month.
Mr. Chair, can you hear me?
Planning on not coming, are you?
I'll be on vacation next month.
Ryan's asking me. I have a question.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So I just want to get clarity from the commission and from Brian on this, because this is a draft that we worked on. Obviously, Vince, myself, and Brian worked on just for the purpose of this meeting. Is it the commission's pleasure to proceed with the moratorium using the language that's before you at the moment that's on the screen?
Yes.
What's on the screen? What's on the screen? What's in here?
Yes.
Yes, it's in the packet.
Does everybody have that?
Yeah, it's the draft at 10/15/2024 amendment. Right. He's asking if this language is good for us to put the moratorium on. Schedule a public hearing, just same discussion we just had.
Right, but we could change the percentage.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, after we get the input from the public hearing.
Ryan, I don't know if you heard that, but the right now, as you know, that we're using a 25% or more. I would think that you could change that after the public hearing if the commission was so inclined to.
I guess my question is. More along the lines of is there a desire to put a moratorium on any sale of smoke or tobacco sales? Because I think I'm just thinking out loud that it might be better to start with something that has a higher percentage, rather than submit this language for the moratorium and then go with something perhaps stronger. I'd rather start with something that has a higher prohibition and then work our way back then.
I'll work our way down.
Yeah.
Understood.
That's all I'm saying. If
well, I may be a little confused. The more restrictive it is, right?
Right.
So if you even have 10% of your area, you're considered to be a tobacco shop, which.
Yeah. A lot of times has that.
Right. Or would it be appropriate just to say a smoke or tobacco store is a retail establishment with that includes the sale of tobacco products? I'm just thinking out loud because this will be noticed. This will have the ability for the public to inspect. And I think someone could reasonably, if the commission seems to be going down the path of sort of an all or nothing approach, I just want to make sure that we're not putting ourselves in a position where the night of the public hearing, suddenly there's this push to go even further, which would be sort of contrary to what the public would have the opportunity to inspect.
I understand what you're saying, Ryan. What's council's recommendation?
Well, I'm comfortable with this as drafted. I think it provides sufficient notice.
Should we make it more clear that 25% is on the bottom of the scale or the top of the scale, so it's clear?
Well, it's going to, I mean, I'm not sure if this commission is inclined to adopt a regulation that, because this is a moratorium.
Yeah. Right?
So you're going to, if you adopt a moratorium that prohibits any establishment from selling tobacco products, any new establishment, if a liquor store comes in or a gas station comes in or any other thing other than a vape shop, perhaps, they're not going to be allowed. There's going to be no exceptions.
Right.
So we thought 25%, granted there's some enforcement questions, but it seemed to be directed to the immediate concern, which is an establishment
that would still allow
that is really a tobacco store,
right,
or a vape shop, or
and that would allow a gas station to come in and have a rack of cigarettes on the back, right, more or less.
Exactly right. And that was our logic, and Brian's correct that was our logic when we drafted this. I just want to make sure that I'm reading the commission correctly. That's all.
So, just so that we're clear, and I understand it the way it was written, that an establishment, the 25% is all the space they could have.
Floor area.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And how's that calculated? Or if you got a rack on a wall that's 10 feet tall, and it's loaded with tobacco products, it's moratoriums of 25%.
Well, we're also not just talking about tobacco products. We're talking about tobacco, it's devices or similar products. So it's related to, you know, the sale of, pipes and other tobacco related,
right,
Mr. Chairman.
This is a question, Ryan. You could help me out with this too. Normally, when you see a moratorium placed on some type of use, you come in with your strongest suit. Okay, it's like a total prohibition for a certain limited amount of time. To the moratorium does. And then you could creep it up, you know, to be a little bit more lenient, you know, after you get input from different people. But it stops somebody kind of cold in their tracks from even thinking about putting in tobacco product or a vape product in their store. I know that the 7-Elevens, they totally removed any kind of tobacco or vape products from their store based on what their people wanted. I don't know. Enlighten us a little bit on that idea.
Well, that is why I brought that up. Because I was hearing, you know, just from some of the comments that commission members made. And you know, obviously I don't question what Brian, myself, and Vince came up with, but the understanding that we had was, you know, let's put together language that would stop essentially a pure vape shop, right? That was the intent. Now, Dave and Ray and others have mentioned, you know, what about a store that has the rack, right? The 10-foot tall rack, and the rest of the store sells whatever, otherwise non-disagreeable products. You know, what about that particular establishment? Well, would the opening of that establishment be something that the commission would find objectionable during this moratorium? I guess that's the question for you guys to consider.
I got two questions. One, I guess my question is how many places like that are actually, how many places are there in Derby where a place like that could open?
Every business.
That would be something that's not selling strictly tobacco. For example, a convenience store, so on and so forth. Significantly less than a 1,000 square foot or 600 square foot storefront that's only going to sell vape products and tobacco. So my question is the commission's pleasure on a moratorium for 6 months or a year completely while we figure out specific regulations that we want to add, regulations, not a moratorium, with specific definitions, how it's going to be calculated, how often it's going to be enforced or checked for enforcement, so on and so forth. Because I don't think it's, I think it's very multifaceted. Whereas we could stop it right now, stop everybody cold in their tracks, like Ray said, and then figure out how to allow a gas station to be built and have a rack of, just to, for consideration. I don't know what time period makes sense, but 6 months or a year.
6 months is a typical moratorium range.
I mean, we could lower the number down to 10%. You know?
Again, we run into that enforcement problem.
Well, I'll just speak to the year for the to the time frame for a period. 6 months is generally the rule of thumb for moratoriums. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest if we're, you know, very close to adopting the regulation 5 months from now and it hasn't been adopted yet, perhaps we do a 30 or 60 day extension. But for initially, I would not go beyond.
The reason I say all this is, you know, I very much like how the subcommittee's working on the applications and stuff. This is probably an opportunity for another small subcommittee to kind of review some of what the other towns have and put together some regulations that really make sense and are strong and well written. Whereas right now we could just say nothing.
Well, on that point, fortunately, this has been a hot topic in a number of municipalities. So Ryan in my office already has a pretty good head start on some proposed regulations. But obviously would have input from this commission, but we're not reinventing the wheel. It's been done, West Haven, Westport, a number of communities. And frankly, we're just going to, you know, take what we like and present it to this commission and see if they like it as well.
Mr. Chairman, Brian.
Go ahead, Ray.
Brian, Ryan, how did you come up with the 25% number?
That was, there's a number of communities that have adopted regulations governing tobacco and vape product sales. 25% seemed to be a reasonable ratio between sale of tobacco products within a retail establishment and other non-tobacco related sales. There's a number of different communities that have adopted a number of different regulations, and this seemed to be a reasonable happy medium. And this number would essentially prohibit the vape stores. I would suggest the ones that are the most objectionable, but it would allow the gas station or a liquor store that has a small portion of their store dedicated to tobacco sales.
Okay, but any liquor store that we can't have any more liquor stores in Derby. We're already up to the max, so that's out of the loop.
No,
unless one of them closes, so that's a moot point.
Unless one of them closes, right?
As far as a gas station goes, it takes a little longer than 6 months to put a gas station in. So I think that's a moot point, and nothing's before us right now. I'm in favor of, like Danny's suggestion, lower that number to even 10%. So if somebody wants to open a convenience store, they're 1,000 square feet anyway, 800 square feet. 25% of 800 square feet is 200. That's a lot, 200 square feet. Fit a lot of stuff in that amount of area. You know, a cigarette rack and a couple little racks of whatever those things are. Yeah, and then you could put a display case floor to ceiling. You're talking floor space. You're not talking square footage of the actual case.
No idea how you can force it.
Well, that's another problem, but I think we should lower that to 10% or make it
zero.
And then that could be changed, as Brian said.
Yeah, after the public hearing.
Well, with the public hearing and our further input and research. Mm-hmm. And
we can move
where we end. And if we, Mr. Chairman, why don't you take Danny's suggestion, put a couple of guys, and I would volunteer to be on that, a little subcommittee, and we'll gather what we could, come back the next meeting, and
yeah, for the moratorium, you could just do it.
Yeah,
right. Correct. We'll still put the moratorium.
The committee after that.
Correct. Right. That's what you're saying.
Or incorporate it.
No. We got our hands full with the application.
All right. Is there any other questions on this? If there's no new questions on it, then the consensus is to change the 25% to 0% or none, right? And
following the hearing.
And then we'll schedule a public hearing. Is that the consensus right now?
Take out the 25% or more and put in where any percentage
is. I'll have Brian, well, go ahead, Brian.
Effectively, what it'll say is that there's going to be a moratorium on any retail establishment selling tobacco products.
Yep. Or vape
products. And that's really just for notice purposes. When we meet after the public hearing, you're going to get some input, presumably, from members of the community or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you actually adopt the regulation, you can revisit the issue as well.
And it's zero.
Question, Mr. Chairman, for Raymond. Raymond, you investigated Ansonia's moratorium, didn't you?
I think it was lower, yeah. I don't have it.
You don't? Oh, you don't.
Well, for consideration also, Westport, I think Brian, you're the one who gave us these, or maybe Ryan did, last meeting.
Yeah, some of those relate to cannabis establishments and not tobacco.
Yeah.
So this one doesn't. This one, any establishment selling any type of smoking, vaping, or related product must secure a special permit from planning and zoning prior to opening businesses in town.
Right.
That's another easy one.
That's a regular
limitation. Yeah.
To any type of smoking, vaping.
Oh.
Any. So same as our moratorium, except we're saying you allow it with a special permit.
Well, right. Yes,
in that community, though, that's a slightly different regulation, which during the moratorium, this commission can certainly consider. But Westport banned vape shops entirely. And then if you were a convenience store that wanted to sell tobacco products, you'd have to come in.
We get a special permit. Right. Yes. Exactly. Any type of smoking, vaping, or related product. Mm.
Okay, so go ahead, Ryan.
No, I'm fine.
Okay. All right, so that's a consent. So we'll change that. We'll word that, Brian.
Yeah, we can word that. Yes. All right,
so we'll change that. Can I get a motion to approve that change?
Motion approved with those amendments.
And second?
I'll second that.
Okay, Danny, all in favor on the change?
Maybe we could amend the motion to have the public hearing at the following meeting, not next month.
Oh, right.
Because now we have.
You're right. So let's do.
I see Mark sweating.
Right.
Well, I know there's concern about getting or addressing this public health issue sooner than later. It's just a moratorium. So that's I think we could, there may be significant public comment, there may not be, but I think the adoption of the moratorium by this board should be relatively straightforward.
Yeah. Okay. I'll withdraw my comment.
Okay. So we'll leave it. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Motion carries. All right, so we're on number 13, payment of bills. Can I get a motion for payment of bills if they deem correct? Albert, can I get a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay. Number 14, a motion for adjournment.
Motion adjourn.
Raymond? Albert? Motion carries. All right, thank you all very much.
6 p.m.
8:26, and we'll see you on the 19th.